our ways.
Say that again. Sin is a what?
A choice.
Choice. Let's get that in our, we choose to sin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we need to really get that in our mind to know that we choose to sin.
Mm-hmm.
That means you don't have to. You make the choice.
He also made the choice, too, because, see, he knew that the women at that certain time would go up on the rooftop to bathe. And he chose not to go to war, which he was supposed to have been.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
When kings go to war, he
in
stayed home.
In the wrong place.
He was in the wrong. He chose that, though.
Mm-hmm.
And he chose to keep looking at that woman every night, naked. And he chose.
Mm-hmm. It starts small, just like faith does.
It's like first.
And that's where he was the weakest at with
yes,
women.
Ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Real weak with women.
Just like
remember that old saying, for one of the nail, the shoe was lost. For one of the shoe, the horse was lost.
Mm-hmm. Same thing. Same thing. Now, this is chapter 3. He already dealt with babes and then young men and strong men. He dealt with that in chapter 1. Now he's talking to people that should be adults in the Lord. When you first start out, you don't know all the tactics of the enemy. And he'll do things where you're unstable. That's why he said that we're not without sin, but we don't have to sin. Chris Lucas, I thank God for that guy. We were friends. He was an Italian Catholic. And he got saved first. He went to the Church of the Nazarene. He got saved a few months before. See, the Coke men came and evangelized Food Giant while I worked in Huffman. I counted 20 young men that got saved. I was one of them. Yeah, the Coca-Cola. Yeah, I was working at a grocery store. And two Coke men came. Now, I'm a pastor's son, but I didn't get saved. I was crazy.
God protected you.
Yeah. And before the Coke men came, we had a guy. He had been in the military. And he talked about the war in Israel and all the things going on in the Middle East. I said, wait a minute, there's something to this. I knew about Israel, but I hadn't been hearing about it. He told me details. I said, I better get right. Months went by. Then the Coke men came. A guy named James got saved first, then Chris. They worked in produce. But what Chris said to me was, he said, Thurston, now that you're a Christian, you don't have to sin anymore. I said, Jesus gave you power over sin. He washed you in his blood. You don't have to, sin don't have to dominate your life anymore. He said, Christians can sin, but they choose to sin. And then he said, the enemy's going to try to get you back. He taught me some key foundational things that help. I saw myself, I didn't see myself as defeated. I saw myself as a victor in Christ. We're not strong in and of ourselves. We're strong in Him. And people they struggle in ministry because they try to make the ministry work. They try to stick to a format that the organization developed. Formats, thank God for them, sometimes they help. But they can't compare. They are outclassed by the anointing. Whatever you're anointed to do, it outclasses the best education. It outclasses formats. It definitely outclasses organizations. Not all of them. All of them. The anointing that God put in your life is very strategic. The anointing you have will operate where it's designed to operate. If I had to go pastor a church and the Lord, He's got me doing what I'm doing now, I'd have to have an anointing to pastor a church. But I have an anointing for the radio and the broadcast. It'll work in God's perfect will. That's where your anointing works. God got other people anointed for that. And He's got other people anointed to evangelize. An apostle can be used in any function. But I stay with what God gave me. That's where I'm going to win souls. That's where I'm going to be effective. People say, there's a guy, he said, do you get any calls to come preach from the radio? I said, never, and I don't expect to. For two reasons. I don't compromise the word of God. I preach it precisely what God give me to preach. Timothy said that they will come where they won't endure sound doctrine, and because of the formats, they don't want it in their church. I'm sorry, it's the way it is. There are some that would, but no, I have never been invited to preach, and that's not my goal. He said, well, you going to pastor church one day? I said, no. He said, why not? I said, God didn't give me that. I don't want to do it unless God give me what to do. I'm content with what God gave. That's where I'm strong. Out of all the things he could have had me do, what did he say do? That's where you're strong. If I look over to my right, man, hey, the grass look greener over there. Well, Lord, I think we ought to just go over this way. I'm leaving the strategy. Stick with the strategy.
That's actually part of what he wrote about you before the earth was ever created.
Yeah.
This is a scroll about you written in heaven before anything was ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to walk that out.
And I want to see what's going to happen.
Amen.
That's the reason you were born.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's your purpose. Mm-hmm. And that's his good pleasure is for us to walk out that scroll that he already had.
That's what he told Jeremiah. Mm-hmm.
He told all of them. He told Isaiah that. He told them all that. David and everything talks about it. There's the form of your substance was before anything was ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
You know, the Lord wanted to do this in your life.
Yeah, it's mine.
It's God.
Yeah.
The
Lord wanted to do a large amount in your life.
Amen.
But a lot of times people look over and say, well, Lord, I want to do that. And they're doing this in their life. Which I'm not saying the small, they're making a... They're going to the permissive will. It's not sin, but it's not. It's like Paul going back to Jerusalem. He wasn't anointed for the Jews. He was anointed for Gentiles. And the way he got out of it, well, I appeal to Caesar. He went to the Gentile court where he win. He couldn't win in the Jews' court.
And God gave him grace to fulfill that. See?
Yeah.
Because that was his purpose.
Yeah.
If your purpose is you walking in that will of God, read right, walking out the book that was already written about mm-hmm. you. You've already got the grace. You've already got the resources. Everything's there for you to do.
Yeah.
And the anointing, everything.
I used to regret Paul made that choice, but I'm glad he did it because everybody needed to see out of the confines of your anointing, you can't win. You're going to jail.
Big time.
If God sent you to Red China, they can't touch you until you finish your mission. You don't have to bow down to man. In the confines of your anointing, that's where you're powerful.
Yes.
Getting people to see that, y'all can see it because you're strong. Mainstream won't see that. I'm sorry.
There is a hunger growing up.
It is.
People are tired of the status quo.
There are people, God, the Lord is doing a great work. You can't see this work. The greatest revival, you may not be able to see it with your eyes, but you're going to find out about it. God has people. When I started listening to Henry Gruber, he's the epitome of what God was showing me back in the 90s. I started learning things just like he teach. When they pull a gun to his head and he's not in fear. I've been in situations like that. And then because I'm not in fear, the Lord turned the fear back on me. I understand. I love to watch movies, but I sit at home and listen to Henry Gruber and people like people that God has given a mission. They are doing things that mainstream don't do. And the reason mainstream don't do it is because of false interpretations. When you go back to 2 Peter, this last 5 minutes, look at 2 Peter. See, I said, Lord, I understand this. I need a way to explain this. Because so many wonderful, great men of God teach that you won't continuously. And I've taught it before. But that's not what he's saying. He said, whosoever abide in him sins not, period. That's just the truth. How can you abide in Jesus, love his people, love his ways, love his wisdom, love his word, and then go rob a bank? It's impossible. How can you love God, love the Holy Spirit, enjoy his word, enjoy fellowshipping with him, and then hate your brother?
Not forgiveness.
It can't happen. So the knowledge that you lack if you don't have the word in that area, you can have faults. You can have bitterness, a root of bitterness that can trouble you. That can happen. But if you abide in him, living in him, obeying him, doing his word, how can you go and hurt somebody or cheat somebody? In business, I would rather lose a little bit than take advantage. And God gave me a protocol, and I have to stick by it even when I don't want to. He gave me a certain amount I have to charge. He said, if you don't, I'll work against you. And he did. So I was a little hard-headed. But when I charge what I'm supposed to, they give me a tip. I told the guy, I gave him my old price. The Lord told me to charge y'all. He said, when you fix his brakes, charge $50. I charged $69. That was years ago. I said, okay. I said, okay. But he was a friend of mine. He said, how much the brakes job going to be? I said, $40. I fixed his brake. He said, man, the Lord told me to give you $50. And I said, okay, Lord. I'm sorry. That's why now, this was in like 09, 08, 09. The Lord told me that when you obey me, that's when you'll see the great. If you don't obey me, I won't work against you. And crazy stuff happened when I disobeyed. But that's why I started confessing. I will do all that's in his heart. I'm trying to get myself on board and stay on board.
That's good.
When I got saved, I said, I finally got a mind to be saved. I said, I ain't letting nobody talk me out of it. I'm not going back to that world. Now that I know the peace of God, I said, if whoever walk out of my life can keep stepping, I'm going forward. I didn't care about how I look, my friends, girlfriend. If Jesus was the problem, they can bye-bye, going. I love you, but
bye-bye.
I can't help you. When my cousin did the same thing. He went all in. And it's important. Because if you can be so attached to people and relationships that you miss what God has for you.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have the same problem, the same results you always had.
Okay, question. And this is to everyone. Why do you think that people get saved now? I'm not saying all of them. They're not all in. They want to know how close can they yield to sin.
Mm-hmm.
They're not all in.
Yeah. That's a process. They're groomed by what exists. When people first get saved, Satan knows this. When children are born, if you teach them the love of God, if you teach them, read the word to them, their spirits are lit. You feed them the word of God. I used to teach Shana Shire and Thurston the word on Saturday morning. I didn't intend to do it but 30 minutes. And 3 hours later, we still going back and forth talking about the word. Then little Jim would come and say what we were saying at home. And then pastor would come and say the same thing. And the same thing in the children's church. They come back and tell me that the same scriptures. I'm so glad they were raised in this church.
You call it the Holy Ghost broadcasting system.
Yeah.
Your radio to the same station. Everybody hears the same thing.
Every time I learn something from the Lord, I say, man, the whole body would love to know this. You try to give them a revelation like that, you'll be surprised who will reject it. And I hate saying that. I said, what's going on? Lord, something ain't right. I didn't know what was wrong. But that's, people get in competition. When people get in competition, they know the word is true, but before their attention's on the competition. Through that, the enemy steal the word, and it's like they never heard it. And they're focused on trying to upstage. When that happens, the Holy Spirit withdraws. But the process that was set up for you to learn that strategic revelation would have propelled that ministry. And the Lord sent me to many pastors. I write the word at home. I get to church, he'll be preaching it. I give him the word. Some of them would receive it, and they'll cry, or they'll thank God for it, and some of them would talk themselves out of it. I've seen it all. It's what's going on out there. We've been in a good church for a long time. What's going on in other churches, it's not half as good. There are people out there that are going forward. They're learning to follow God again. And I've been preaching it on the radio as God guides, but there's not a hunger for the revelation knowledge of God like there should have been, like it was in the charismatic movement.
That is changing, though.
It is.
It is. It's changing.
This time it's changing among individuals.
Right.
Instead of organizations.
Because they're getting tired of status quo.
Yeah.
They don't see no healings. They don't see, mm-hmm. you know, the manifestation of the Lord. They're not seeing people get delivered. I'm not talking about saved. I'm talking about delivered out of addiction.
Mm-hmm.
They're not seeing it.
If people were doing those things, and people with that first love, that first love will be activated, and it'll stay activated, mm-hmm. and they'll expect to be healed. They'll lay hands on people, and they'll recover.
Come on. Yes, sir.
But if they're looking at the status quo, they go lukewarm.
Exactly.
Now, I'm going to end with this. I can't leave it half done. Peter put it this way. Now, think about every troubling factor in your life. This is the process to kill it. Think of all the victories you have. This is the process to establish it. He said, and besides all this, now he's talking about receiving the greater, exceeding great and precious promises. He said, and beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, virtue being the word of God that you put in your heart. That's the revelation you receive. My definition is different than the Hebrew and Greek. Because I asked the Lord, what do you mean by virtue? He said, that's the amount of God's word inside your heart. Okay, with that definition.
That's power.
Yeah, receive revelation. Now, you receive God's word on it. You received it. You're stronger. All right, with that, add to your virtue knowledge. Go and learn more about it. Read all the different illustrations of what was going on in their life. Sometimes the Psalms it'll say what David was going through when he learned this. Go read the story and then read the Psalm again. Plant it deep in your heart. To knowledge temperance. When you learn something, you want to share it. It's like fire shut up in your bones. And if you tell the wrong person, they'll neutralize you. You'll be sterile again. Especially if you look up to them. Be temperate. Pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Share with who the Lord will edify you. You know, some people will stoke the fire and some people will throw ice on it. Add to your knowledge temperance. To temperance, patience. It's going to take a long time anyway. Be patient. You didn't lose anything. Patience is a waiting faith. You're in faith. Yeah. Patience keeps your faith on.
That's good, waiting faith.
He said, to patience, godliness. While you're waiting, you're doing the works that it takes your side. And continue to be godly. Love your brother. Love fuses. Your faith works by your love. To godliness, brotherly kindness. Some people in faith can be mean. Be kind.
George Meyer said she was a very mean Christian.
Yeah.
She sure did.
And that'll hinder you.
Critical, judgmental.
Yeah. Love people where they're at. They need you. It's not a competition. If they're not getting it, we're losing something. If they're not activated in the Holy Spirit, we're losing something. They're part of the body. The Lord's going to have to use other people to do what they're supposed to do, and it's not going to be as good. He said to brotherly kindness, charity, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Everything that was barren, lacking, unfruitful, doubtful, can be destroyed. I'm going to close with 10. He said, but he that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. He goes south in his ways. Now, I'm going to stop with 10. He said, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if these things, verses 5 to 8, be in you and abound, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. You love God. You love His word. You love His ways. You love His people. You love His mission. You love His faith. You love the revelation. How can you go rob a bank? You're just not going to see Him.
Or hate your brother.
you're not going to hate him. He can call you everything and spit in your face. You still love him. And then you win him. He that abides in the Lord cannot sin. But if you don't, if you do what is in verse 9, you can't. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It says his prayers are filled with requests to God that you would grow and mature, mm-hmm. standing complete and perfect, mm-hmm. in the beauty of God's plan for your lives. We need, mm-hmm. to be praying that for each other.
Yeah, that's a confession, that's just like Ephesians. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Remember we used to make the Ephesian confessions?
Yeah, for 1 and 3.
Mm-hmm. That's important.
But this is important that we are praying for each other to be standing complete and perfect in God's plan for our lives, that we stay in our lane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hosea 6:3, I think. If you follow on and know the Lord, when you, that's where you go. That takes all the work out of your life. I said earlier that the anointing outclass organizations and the will of man and formats.
Verse 1, I have a little different take on verse 9. Uh-huh. What you said was good about keeping on our soul, but I truly believe the heart is the soul and the spirit. And I truly believe when you're born again, God comes into you and recreates your spirit.
Yeah.
He lives in a holy place.
Uh-huh.
So it's actually talking about your spirit here.
Yeah.
Whosoever is born of God,
uh-huh.
does not commit sin.
Uh-huh.
For his seed, God, remaineth in him, and uh-huh. he cannot sin because he is born of God. That's the take I take on it. What you said about to be a light to the soul,
I know,
it is important.
When God made Adam, He was perfect, no sin.
Mm-hmm.
He was like a brand new computer.
Yes.
And he had to choose tree of knowledge, tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
The tree of life represents that he had to go on to know the Lord. He had to fill his heart with his words.
Mm-hmm.
Or he could choose an alternative.
He spiritually died.
Yeah. But if he had went on to know the Lord, he would never have died. And he would never have chosen.
Yes.
We're the same way. If you don't fill your heart with the revelation of God's word, not echo interpretations of man, but the revelation, there's a difference. I had a class on rightly divided. Unrightly divided word is not the intended meaning of the Holy Spirit. Only then we can only draw faith from the intended meaning of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
Interpretations can cost you everything, but the intended mean, that's the revelation that you get. That's where your real faith comes from.
Yes.
That's when you become solid. Yes. You buy a computer and they put viruses on it, it's a new computer with viruses.
Yeah.
You put the right applications on it, you can use it.
And then wherever you understand what you're talking about right there, then you can actually prophesy your destiny because it's written in your book.
Mm-hmm.
Saying God will reveal that.
And yeah.
You can walk it, just like you said that. Where was that? Where God? No, it was in Genesis chapter 3. God was literally prophesying.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
See, and we got to understand that we, just like Paul said, we need to prophesy.
Yeah.
To prophesy our destinies because
yes,
God will take and show you what's written in your book, and when you prophesy, he'll walk it out.
And walk it out. And it's
one
easy.
One more question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When Satan rebelled and a third of the angels fell, we were all there. Our spirits were there. We were spiritual beings in heaven already, right? No.
That's yeah. It.
we had to be in the mind of God. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we were in the mind. I don't believe
yeah.
we were physically there.
Were we not all?
We were in the mind of God. We didn't exist yet.
Yeah.
We didn't exist.
But
we
were known of because he had written all
yes,
of them in the book of
exactly.
life. But mm-hmm. I don't think he created it till we came together, and
right.
that's when the.
Yeah.
But that might be right. I mean, that's a good question.
Yeah, no, nobody actually knows that correct answer on that unless the Lord tells us.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'll be backed up with Scripture because he won't violate his word.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I'll say this, I don't think so.
that's what I think we're in the mind.
I didn't know.
Well,
definitely in his mind.
vote. Before the vote was ever made.
But actually, we ate it in there in heaven, we wasn't at that time, but we were, everybody comes in their generation. Although you're in his mind, you were in his mind before the foundation of the world.
You're not up there in
but
heaven.
But each
before.
Comes in their generation. Generation are called, they are chosen. You are a chosen generation.
God knew that you would be. And then
you
we
were
did.
Chosen for this generation.
Yes, ma'am.
We existed in Adam. You know, all of us existed in Adam. It's kind of like. We existed in Adam. It's kind of like, remember the tithe? Remember Abraham?
The seed to produce was in Adam.
Yeah. Remember, it said that Levi paid tithes in Abraham. Remember, Abraham was the first to pay tithes. Well, Levi was in his loins. Just like we were all in Adam. We just had everything. The process had to happen before we could be conscious. But I think so.
But when our generation was called, we came forth.
Yeah.
Right.
Can I read something real quick? Mm-hmm. Romans ends up this way. It says, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men, and I'm glad, therefore, for your on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. But, you know, he had obedience in his life to be able to have Satan under his feet. Yeah, you know.
That's true.
He had to have some.
You know, and living holy, obedience is a choice. We do what's right because we choose to. And we continue the process of life. Maybe I know well. I was going 10:15. I had good intentions, but dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for every comment. Help us to go forward in you, doing all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name.